Tommy, let's quickly talk about the free agent weekend. What do you feel was the best signing by a team?
Ooh, good question. Quick shout out to CG, by the way. I like the article you put up on him as well. Looking forward to the show, and Hernan's always great. Best signing, Greg's. Man, the one that caught me by surprise was definitely Taylor Hall to Buffalo. I can't deny that. And, Petrangelo, the Golden Knights, paid a ton for, and they lose a couple of really good roster players. And it's not like their blue line was a problem. I'll say Taylor to Buffalo. I like that deal. You know what? I think he's saying all the right things. Here's my take on it. He's saying all the right things. He capitalized on the money. And maybe he can turn this into a fruitful relationship with the Sabres. But that's a good get for an organization that's been going through tumultuous times. You want to talk about decades of darkness? I know we've witnessed one here, but Buffalo has been going through it as well. So I think that's a nice shot in the arm for the fan base there. So, and you know, he pointed out Ralph Kruger too. We all know and we experienced Ralph, great motivator, great person, and trying to make it work on the ice with his club in Buffalo. So I'll say Taylor Hall to Buffalo. I like that move, and a little bit out of left field. Good for the Sabres and their fan base.
What do you think about the situation with Vancouver? And you look at, you know, they don't get Markstrom back, and then they miss Tanev. They lose to Foley to Montreal. Then they quickly get Nate Schmidt for a song.
Holpe.
Oh, sorry, yeah. And Holpe. Yeah, well, that's a fit. But how would you evaluate their weekend? Because it seems from a distance it was quite chaotic.
Strutty, the best way, at least in my mind, from what I witnessed from the Canucks is all that good momentum they had building through the return to play and that nice little run they put together in the postseason, I think it kind of halts it. And listen, I know Holtby is he's still a very good goaltender in the National Hockey League. I don't know if he's a Vezina caliber goalie anymore. He probably wants to prove himself again. And you're right, they get a great deal on an excellent defenseman in Nate Schmidt, but it seemed like they had something brewing, you know, something really good, and some of it was coming to fruition in that postseason. Markstrom was back on top of his game, making amazing saves. I know Demko had a good little run there when Markstrom was hurt, but you lose Toffoli, and it just felt like, and Tanev too, and Stetcher, it just feels like the momentum they were building was halted. And, you know, I really do like Nate Schmidt, but now I'm looking at this Pacific Division. If there is one next season, I know the Canadian Division is a possibility, but if there is a Pacific Division, it's Edmonton, Calgary fighting for second behind Vegas. I thought Vancouver would be in that mix, no doubt, but it feels like that momentum has been killed.
Interesting. I think Nate Schmidt's a huge upgrade on Tanev. And so Holtby to Markstrom, you know, you throw in. I don't think they take that much of a step back other than losing to Foley. That's maybe the one little step for them that they don't like. But I actually think Nate Schmidt's a better player than Tanev. And, you know, the combination of Demko and Holtby, I think, can come close to what Markstrom did. It's more so about losing to Foley for them. You know, there's another guy, a rental player. They, you know, similar to Athanasiou, who, by the way, still hasn't signed. And, yeah. You know, Anthony Duclair's bidding study looks like, well, we'll see what his contract is, but every day that passes looks like being his own agent might not be working out for him.
No, come on. I can't believe it.
Very
shocking.
Well for that. Now, Tommy, I know that now this is for you and Strutty. As I was watching baseball last night, I felt like I was watching Struds every day. Oh, yeah. They hear Walker Buehler taking a page out of Strutty and Tommy Gazzola's playbook with like the tightest white pants I've seen. Good for him.
Oh God. Well, Strutty, first of all, being the Swedish man about town that he is, he would have no problem wearing the same type of pants Walker Buehler strutted out to the mound last night. And this got asked in the post game. Somebody asked him about his pants and it got shut down. Good on Walker Buehler saying, hey, not the time nor the place. Fair enough, because they got beat late in the game by the Braves. But I looked at those pants, guys, and it's like fashion crossing over into baseball. Like, those are the hipster tight pants with the high hem. And I thought to myself, if I was playing ball, like, what kind of style would I go with? And I don't know about you guys, but I kind of like the high socks look. Like, some of the Dodgers on their socks now, they have palm trees. I kind of like how MLB's going that route, where they're stylizing the socks. So I think I would go with the high socks look. But Walker Buehler last night, guys, I know that they tailor their gear for them in the bigs. All their uniforms are tailored. But, Stretty, would you be comfortable in your white tight pants a la no. Will Ferrell?
No, listen, everyone knows you don't wear white pants after Labor Day. And the problem is that not only are they tight, they were probably, you know, by my best guess, they're about 2 inches too short. Like, it honestly, me, man, and other people are saying this online, I think that they were someone else's pants because they were so snug. Like, he couldn't fit like a dime inside his pocket.
You think he would pitch yes. in that big of a game with someone else's pants?
I do.
Not a
Look
chance.
How it's, they're so tight.
Ah, no chance. I think that's
no
him.
Way.
He was yeah. liking it. He pulled it off. It was great. Too bad his team kind of gagged in the ninth inning. But there's not much. I don't buy for a second those weren't his pants.
Oh, man.
He's just rocking
Neither
the tight.
Do I.
Like, baseball pants can be pretty tight at times from certain guys. Right, position players. I find infielders like to have a little bit baggier, but you've seen some pitchers with tight pants. Like those seem, you know, it was like I was watching Jimmy Fallon for a second. Everybody's talking about yeah. his tight pants.
Yeah,
right.
But,
so
but
it was quite funny.
The difference is that the guys you're talking about, like, think of a Ricky Henderson, huge quads, huge legs, huge bump. With all due respect, this guy isn't exactly Ricky Henderson. Would look at his bump. He's got a little pitcher bum, skinny legs. No, I took a hard look at it.
Well, clearly.
No, you got to do your research, right? So I just think that I don't understand. I don't understand what he was trying to accomplish, but it almost worked for him. But
what about
I just
this?
Yeah.
What if it was like a little bit of a throwback to like the late 70s, 80s, early 90s look? But what if he went, Strutty, because you mentioned the high ankles, what if he went with like a high top cleat? I think that would have looked pretty good.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because I noticed there's some, was it Miami or Laker basketball players? You know, they had some shorter shorts on. You know, so maybe that's coming back. Maybe the days of the Larry Bird short shorts are coming back for basketball, and we're going to see the tighter pants in baseball.
What a world.
It is. It's crazy. Now, joined by Tom Guazzola, talking all things sports. I want to go back to the NHL, and I want to get your thought on the situation with Toronto Maple Leafs. You look at the addition they made of TJ Brody. So now you're going to have, you know, Morgan Rielly is a really good defenseman. Jake Muzzin, you know, he brings the heat. They've got TJ Brody, then Zach Bogosian, who they have to make sure they tell that market, is a sixth defenseman. He's nothing more. If you go up any higher, he's going to drown. But is that a vast improvement on the Cody Ceci experiment that was last year for the Maple Leafs, in your opinion?
Oh, is the love for Bogosian after what he did in the postseason? Yeah, quite likely. TJ Brody, guys, at $5 million per year. I was looking at that going, really? Okay. And they lose Barry, who was better when Sheldon Keefe came in. I don't know. I don't know, Struds. Is it that much better? Is it really, like, maybe somewhat deeper? And then they also lost guys, like, up front that I thought were good players. They've lost Kapanen. They lost Andreas Janssen.
Frederick Gauthier.
Yeah, Freddie Gauthier. Okay. I don't know. It's kind of like it's similar to the situation here where you go, okay, well, one guy's not going to play this year, and that's Klefbom, but you bring in Tyson Barry, so the points should be better. Is the blue line better? You lose Matt Benning. You put in Caleb Jones and hope for more from him. Is the blue line better? I feel like the Leafs are kind of in that same spot where – you've got guys moving in and out, and it's like, you know, I'd rather have Zach Bogosian than Martin Marincin, I'll tell you that. Just let's start there for a building block. But overall, I look at it and go, still about the same. And honestly, that's a decent team over there. I know people like to hate on them, and it's fun to do so because what Toronto is in the hockey universe and everything, but I look at it and I go, they're still fine. I'm sure they're still going to be decent. When I look at the Leafs and some of the chips that they lost up front, that's where I go, maybe that's where the depth will be lacking a little bit, and you're hoping for other guys to step up.
Tommy, have yourself a good evening. Listen to CG and Hernan tonight. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, gentlemen. Talk to you tomorrow.